This morning we're going to begin in Proverbs chapter 4. Today's Sunday, February the 8th, 2026. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. What we think about leads to our decisions and choices, and our actions are then based on those decisions and choices. And our actions always bring about results, good or bad, right or wrong. And here in Proverbs 4, there's a lot of great truths in Proverbs 4, but one that I want to point out to you, a great truth regarding and concerning the heart, your heart, my heart. Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep, and that word keep means to guard. Keep or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're to guard our heart, keep our heart with all diligence. That looks like it requires a little bit of effort. So the reason we do that is because God said, out of it, out of my own heart, out of your own heart, are the issues of life, your life, my life. What a great truth. You know, every self-help book or course or speaker, motivational people, they all, in one way or another, promote this great truth, the importance of our thoughts. And God just made it real clear and plain. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of your own life. Our belief systems, whether they're good or bad, true or false, are in our heart. That's where our belief systems are. And many times in the Bible, God talks about our thinking, our thoughts, or our thought processes, our beliefs, if you will. And we know that God gave us all free will. You can think about whatever you want to think about. But then in His Word, He kind of directs us to what would be best for us in that category. And the reason why is that consistent thoughts determine what's in our heart. We're the only ones that build our heart by our thoughts. And God says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn to Proverbs 23, if you would. And this one is probably pretty familiar. Proverbs 23, verse 6 says, eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. That's what God said. And this works both positive and negative, and here it's kind of showing the negative side. The thoughts we think that get down into our hearts determine where our lives will be. I mean, this is what God said. People can argue about it. People can come up with all kind of other stuff. But God said, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. God said, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of your own life. And our brains are all wired the same, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. Too bad when we got born again, we didn't get a new brain. We did get a new nature, but we didn't get a new brain. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, our brains are all wired the same. And this is why you may see a very positive thinking unbeliever have very positive things happen in their life. And on the other hand, you may see at times very negative thinking believers who have negative things happen to them. It's because our brains are wired the same. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of your life. What we have in our hearts when it comes to, because we can have a lot of things in our heart, a lot of thoughts, a lot of belief systems, lots of stuff, but what we have in our hearts when it comes to who God really is and who you really are really so important. When it comes to God, who he is, what he's done, what he will do, what he's promised, to find that out, we have his word. He had it written for us so that we would know and not guess, right? And we can consistently go to his word and accept and believe those things, put those thoughts into our hearts and minds, and have a belief system concerning God that's accurate, that's true. You know, Jesus Christ said, "Thy word is truth." So we can be absolutely convinced about that. But if someone consistently has thoughts concerning God that are not true, or they choose to not accept what they read or hear about God's word, that will build a belief system concerning God that's false, that's not true. And, you know, some people believe that God kills people. Well, they don't come right out and say, "God murdered that person." You hear it softer. "God took them home." God brings tragedy into people's lives to see if they're really going to trust him. God will test you with this, you know, to see if you really love him. And, you know, lots of other stuff. And there are Christians that have some false beliefs concerning God. And I think we saw last week, you know, a big one is God's forgiveness. We saw from the scriptures how not accepting God's forgiveness and living with condemnation interferes with our relationship with God. It absolutely does, which would then result in not really trusting him or believing him. And likewise, when it comes to who we are as born-again ones, the same is true. And again, God's word informs us of who we are. We learn from God's word that everybody's born with an old man nature, but when we got born again, God gave us a new nature. Now, we can choose to consistently put into our mind thoughts from God's word about who we really are according to his word. We can do that and build that into our minds, accept that we have a new nature, find out what that new nature is all about, and put that into our hearts and minds or not. It's still free will. It's still free will. Look at Philippians 3. I mentioned this, I think, last week, but we'll look at it this morning. This morning is all about your heart and my heart. Bless your heart. We're going to Philippians. I was laughing because sometimes, I don't know why, I'll just ask Missy. I say this all the time. Well, bless your heart, bless my heart, bless all our hearts. I don't know why I say that, but bless your heart. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. Paul had to really work with his mind to not think about the junk in his past, which was a lot of crap. How did he do that? By believing or accepting that God had forgiven him, that it was over with. And he also had to work with his mind to believe and accept that he had this new nature and what that was all about, that he was like we are, who God says we are. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. What does God think about you? That's what's important. In 1 Corinthians 15... we're going to come back to Philippians in just a couple minutes. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, or I am who I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. But yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. By the grace of God, I am who I am. All that we have in the new birth from God is by his grace. We didn't earn any of it. And, you know, when Paul wrote what we just read a few minutes ago, forgetting those things which are behind, that meant he was refusing to think about his ugly past and instead focusing on what God did for him in the new birth. One of those, not the only one, obviously, but one of those was forgiveness. And, you know, we can read, forgetting those things which are behind. Wow, that's cool. Paul did that. And then we can read, by the grace of God. But we don't see the work it took for that man to do that, like it takes work for us so many times to do things. Here's a question. If it really doesn't make any difference what you think of yourself, if that really doesn't matter, then why did God say, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, your life? There are people that consistently in their lives complain about their situations in their life or blame others for their lives, focus on all the problems all the time. And invariably, people that do that lead a miserable life. We've all run into people. They're just miserable. Well, why is that? Why is their life so miserable? Is it because of their circumstances? I mean, look at the situation I'm in. Of course I'm miserable. Is it because of their past? Well, you don't know all the things that have happened to me. Is it because of other people? The reason my life's miserable is because, let me tell you about this person and that person. Is it because of God that their life is miserable? Oh, I tried God, I prayed, and I didn't get an answer, and so my life is miserable. No, because we know what God said. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, are the issues of your life, right? Out of it. So a person's future absolutely doesn't have to be determined by their current circumstances where they are today. And there are some people who spend their whole lives pouring in thoughts into their head, into their minds, and building a belief system in their heart that they're a failure. I'm a failure. Or I'm worthless. You know, I really don't have anything to offer anybody. Or building a belief system that I'm poor. I'm just one of those people that's just, I have nothing. And they build a belief system. As he thinks in his heart, what did God say? So is he. God didn't say, because of your past, so are you. Now, that might be a little contrary to current psychology, but I'd rather believe what God said than psychology. And so continuing to build those thoughts in their heart, that's what they will manifest. You know how bad that can get, doing that kind of stuff? Sometimes someone might hear thoughts that are absolutely untrue and false. And then they have those things that are absolutely not true validated by talking to someone, and even worse, going online and having those false thoughts validated, verified by something they see online. And that is how a precious little 8 or 10 year old girl can come up with an absolute belief that she's a boy. That's how that stuff gets rocketed into our kids. As a believer, our future ought to be determined by consistent thoughts about who God is, what he will do, what he's promised us, who he's made us, and who we are, who he said we are. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. A little child just doesn't wake up one day and go, wow, I'm a boy. There was a thought process that started somewhere that generated, that got validated to the point that that's their belief system. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's look at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, look how God's describing the mental battle that goes on sometimes. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then God's word says, casting down imaginations or thinkings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, which would be the truth, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So often, all through the Bible, God talks about thinking in one way or another. Here it's casting down imaginations. Or we can read about put off the old man, put on the new man. Well, where do you put them on? In the mind. Where do you put them on? You take it off of the mind, you put the right stuff in the mind. In Hebrews, it says, laying aside every weight and run with patience the race that's set before us. So, you know, that's why we study God's word, read God's word, make time to put those thoughts into our hearts and minds. Thoughts about who God really is. You know, and we listen to manifestations this morning and hear those wonderful words where God's speaking to us to edify us, to comfort us, to exhort us. And when those messages are done accurately, they're always in alignment with God's word. And so we get reminded that God loves us, that God's with us, that God will help us, God will direct us. Those are thoughts we want to consistently put in our hearts and minds. And then thoughts about who we really are, what we really have with this new nature. And, you know, last Thursday, Ed reviewed a few of those things. There's a lot of them. You know, and just seeing some of those things and reminding ourselves that I am righteous before God. Just to dwell on that and let that sink into my heart. It's just really wonderful. So back to Philippians. I want to share three things. Just for a few moments, let's consider three things in our past that we can choose to forget. How about that? Not God's blessings. God already told us, don't forget all my blessings, okay? We don't forget those. But three things that we can choose to forget. And by forget, meaning don't think about them anymore. Thoughts pop up into our head out of nowhere. You ever notice that? Why am I thinking about that? Okay, it's there. What do I want to do about it? There are thoughts that we should simply take it to the back door and get out. I don't want to think about that anymore. Verse 13 of Philippians 3. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So, first thing. Three things that we can choose if we want to forget. Or not forget. But it would be beneficial to forget them. And the first thing is our junk. How's that? Our junk, our mistakes, bad things that we've done. Because really every day can be a brand new start for us, regardless of anything in our past. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached about Jesus Christ, how he was Lord, how he was the Messiah, how God raised him from the dead. And he was preaching to people who he said, you crucified him. So, at the end of what's recorded there in Acts 2, they said, well, what do we do? And he said, repent. And that word repent means to change your mind. Thoughts are in the mind. They needed to change their mind. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be saved. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They needed to change their minds. Right? And if they did that, then they would receive remission of sins. See, with God, you can always start over. His promises are new every morning. We don't get up in the morning and pray to God and go, hey, don't even bother, not you. I know who you are and what you... We can start brand new every single day, no matter where we are. Peter gave those people the opportunity that day to start over with God. A new start for them. What a great message. And many of them did. Thousands of them said, okay. That's what, you know, Peter did that day. How about Peter? Less than 2 months before this, when he's standing up there and preaching and doing all this great stuff and getting people saved, less than 2 months before, where was Peter? I don't know the man. Swearing he had no knowledge of Jesus Christ. Remember that? And there's a verse that says the Lord looked on him and Peter left, weeping, crying. Can you imagine what he had to do with his mind? I just denied him. I denied that I even knew him. Now, Peter could have spent the rest of his life in guilt and shame and condemnation. Could have. Didn't, thank God. Praise the Lord. We can always start over, no matter how bad we think our past is. Doubt if it's as bad as Paul's. He had some junk in the past to forget, didn't he? This man went from killing Christians to being one of the greatest believers of all time. How did he do that? How do you overcome all the guilt, the shame, the condemnation for killing God's people? How did he do that? Well, he believed and accepted God's grace. And that took some mental work. It wasn't like just in one moment, oh, okay, that's great. We all know how we have to work with our own minds. Imagine trying to work with your mind on that and getting that. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not thinking about it. I'm accepting God's forgiveness for me. I'm totally accepting it, and I am not going there. I'm not going to think about that. And also at the same time, accepting who he was in the new birth, that new nature, accepting that he was righteous before God, that he was redeemed, that he was sanctified, that he was holy, acceptable, unblameable, that he was righteous, that he was a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. All those things we read about in the epistles, he had to put in his mind, that's who I am. I'm not that guy that I was. I'm this guy that I am. And we all have to do that, right? It takes mental work. And that's why he said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And sometimes it takes work. I like in Corinthians when we read when he said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. Paul didn't say, by my long praying, once I knew Jesus, by my commitment, because I'm so committed, by my study of the scriptures, by all my sufferings, by my faithfulness to teach God, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And for you and I, that's the same thing. By the grace of God, we are who we are. And so not only in the category of his past sins, but in all that God made him in the new birth. And sometimes it takes work to forget those things that are behind us and accept God's forgiveness. The battle, or like we just read, the warfare, it's in the mind, it's our thoughts. So one of the first things, number one on what we can forget in the past is the junk, our junk. Second point, what about forgetting other people's junk? How about that? Forgetting things that other people have done that hurt you. Why carry that baggage with you? Is it healthy? It's absolutely not healthy at all. Research has showed that. Carrying bitterness, anger, animosity towards someone, even if they were totally in the wrong, not forgiving them is physically and emotionally damaging. Research shows that anger can adversely affect your immune system. You know, and God doesn't go into all those physiological and mental details. He just says forgive, doesn't he? Because he's so smart. I got this quote from John Hopkins studies, found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Forgiveness. And I think you know what God says. Look at Ephesians 4. Right back up a couple pages. Unless you have huge giant print, then it'd be more. Ephesians 4. Very familiar to us. Well, we could read verse 31 first. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This verse has both your junk and their junk. The things you've done that you need to accept God's forgiveness for, and the things that others have done to you that you ought to forgive them. This is part of forgetting the past. Who would that include? Well, it could be old bosses, co-workers, family, there's a good one, friends, neighbors, companies, governments, in this great political environment that we're all in. Who's ever hurt you? And there's a big thing that has been going on for a number of years concerning parents. Not kids that are living home, but adults that have all this stuff towards their... It's a thing, you know, and psychology has got, well, we got to name it. They always come up with something. You know, if you happen to be a person that might, you know, touch their nose every once in a while. Oh, let's give that a name. That's the nasal something whatever. They like to come up with all these names. What I'm about to say will go pretty contrary to what some psychology is saying today, but I'll say it anyway. It's not what your parents did or did not do that will screw up a person's life. It's your own thoughts. Doesn't matter what kind of a past you had, doesn't matter what kind of parents you had, doesn't matter if you had a good childhood, not so good. Some people have a horrible childhood. They grew up around alcoholics, physically abused, all of that. Has nothing to do with where your life is now. And the reason I can say that is because God said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. We all have control of our own thinking. We can forget and put stuff behind us, and that's it. We don't have to think about that anymore. There's three main reasons people don't forgive others. There's probably others, but the three main reasons are, number one, they don't deserve it. No. What they did was so bad, they don't deserve it. And besides that, they should have known better. They do not deserve it. Number two, they're not sorry. They haven't even apologized. I'm going to forgive them. And number three, forgiving them somehow excuses what they did. Now, for some people, though, that might be, you know, their criteria for forgiveness, but thankfully that's not God's. Jesus Christ paid the price and penalty for all sins, period. And God said, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Good thing God doesn't go by man's criteria. We should be pretty thankful for that. God could say, you don't deserve forgiveness from me. And we don't. He could very well say that, right? God could say, you know, I don't think he's really sorry. I don't think I'm going to forgive him. Oh, if I forgive him, he's just going to think, well, it wasn't really that bad what I did. God doesn't forgive that way, and we shouldn't either. Remember Peter said, you know, how many times do I got to forgive my brother? Like seven? And Jesus said, yes. Seven times 70, Peter. Jesus was in his agony, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Colossians chapter 3. A couple more. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off that old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." And we get that knowledge from God's word. It's sad because sometimes even believers just carry baggage for years. You know, they say, "Oh yeah, I forgave him," but sometimes it's just kind of a conditional forgiveness, which God does not do. When God forgives, it's over. Remember, part of that definition of forgiveness was as if they've never been committed. And so sometimes people just don't let it go and get rid of it. There's a command for a ranger dog that's here now. And the command basically is for him to really kind of stop thinking what he's thinking and divert his attention. And it's leave it. Leave it, you know. Sometimes the neighbor right over there will come out on their patio and Ranger's like, "Brr," and we're like, "No, it's fine. Leave it. Leave it." Sometimes we have to do that with our own brains. Leave it. Leave it. Get rid of it. And forgiving someone else does not condone their actions. It's not saying, "Well, what they did was, it was all right." And it also doesn't mean that we continually allow someone to keep hurting us. We don't need to do that. You know, there's times when we may still love the person, but we just have to graciously excuse ourselves. You know, you want to just keep punching me in the face. You know what? I think I'm going to move away from that. Love you. We still forgive, but we might have to graciously excuse ourselves. And this forgiving others, this is all part of guarding our heart, because not forgiving is not good for us. One of the best ways to not forgive someone is to replay it again in our minds. Why would we do that? If we replay negative things in our heart and mind, is that a product of the new nature or the old nature? It's probably the old man nature that wants to bring it up again. Remember that? Leave it! You know, why should we entertain hurtful thoughts? Guard your heart, God said. Forget the past and move ahead, pressing toward the mark. That's God's solution. So, number one, forget your junk. Number two, forget their junk. And number three, and we don't often talk about this, but sometimes people get discouraged by thinking about the good old days. You know, back when things were really, because the days we live in now are just so, in those good old days, if things were easier, things, the government wasn't so messed up, the country was more beautiful, people loved each other, the good old days. My life was a lot simpler. Situations in life changes, right? Our bodies aren't what they used to be 30 years ago. No, there's a change. The country's changing. Technology has just, you know, AI. I'm going to mention a little bit about AI next week, but of course we remember things that God has done for us in the past. That's a really good thing. That's a very beneficial thing. That's actually a very healthy thing to our minds and bodies to be thankful. Look that up, research sometime about what gratitude does for your physical body and for your mental body. And in addition to that, and even more important than that, is that in remembering what God did for us in the past gives us confidence, because if He blessed us back then, why would He not bless us today? He hasn't changed. So gratitude is what? It's thoughts. It's thinking. It's good thinking to get into our heart. To develop a heart of gratitude, it's so beneficial to us. But we can't go back to those good old days. And I bring this up in the forgetting the past because sometimes longing for those good old days could be discouraging. Well, I wish I was, you know, we don't want to do that. Guard your heart. What about today? Every morning we wake up, it's a new day, a new start. Regardless of our situation or our limitations, today is a new start because God has not changed. His promises are still true. We can't live yesterday, but we can certainly live for God today, can't we? So forget your junk, forget their junk, and instead of longing for the good old days, where do you want your life to go? Consistently thinking thoughts about how good and great God is and how much He loves you and who He made you to be in the new birth. Building our heart based on what God said is true and consistently building that into your heart. That's the way to go. And the thing is, only you can do it. Only I can do it. You know, they can do, I guess, physical heart transplants, right? Well, that's the physical heart. They haven't gotten to brain transplants yet. Yes, I'd like a very positive brain. What is the cost on that one? There used to be that saying, only you can prevent forest fires. Remember that? Yeah. Only you, only me can take care of our own brain, our own thoughts. Only you can guard your own thoughts, your own heart. And God said, guard that heart with all diligence because God said, I'm telling you, out of it, out of your heart are the issues of your own life. And as he thinks in his heart, so is he. I'd like to close in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. This is context of Matthew 13 here is the parable of the sower, which comes up in three of the Gospels. And in light of what I shared this morning, it might be interesting to read those sections in the Gospels pertaining to the parable of the sower. I think you'll get some added insight. But I just wanted to read two verses from Matthew 13 because the disciples asked Jesus, why are you teaching in parables? And we have a really cool parables class too, which gets into some good detail with this. But they asked him, they said, why do you teach in parables? Matthew 13, 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Whose fault was that?
Theirs.
Yep. There were some people in Jesus Christ's time that just recognized, man, he's Lord. He's the Messiah. He's at least recognized something. The woman came and touched the hem of his garment, said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll get healed. There were people that received him, not in his hometown. Remember that? He could not do many mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. These were people that were hungry for the truth, people that wanted understanding. And this is where we want to be. Verse 16, we don't want to be in verse 15. We don't want gross hearts. Your hearts are waxed gross. But we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we can read God's word and accept what God says and put that into our minds, into our thinking, to build a heart of believing God, to build a heart of gratitude, to build a heart of God's love. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Father, thank you for your wonderful word, and Father, for the direction that you give us. You've given us free will to think whatever we want to think, but you're so loving and kind that you give us direction on what would be best for us to think. I pray, Father, that you would help us as we forget those things we need to forget and just put them behind us and not think those things anymore. And when they pop up, we can show them the door. Thank you for all that our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has accomplished for each one of us. And what a joy it is to know, Father, you love us and we're living in this day and time as sons of God, knowing your Son's coming back to get us. So until then, may we love you more, trust you more, believe you more, and share that wonderful love with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.